The Nerd and Tie Podcast is unsurprisingly a part of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network. For more shows from actual play to true crime to witchcraft, just go to nerdandtie.com and find them all. Or join our Discord by finding an invite at nerdandtie.com/discord. Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right, for just $20, we'd say something nice about you here. We'd say, hey, those shoes look great. We'd say, hey, I like that hair or lack of hair. That's amazing. Just go to nerdandtie.com and click on the sponsor information. Or if you'd like to contribute to our legal fund, go to gofundme.com/nerdandtie. On this episode of Nerd and Tie, we are all back. We are all in our nerdodomes across Wisconsin, and we are talking about how an Oregon-based artist out-nerd me was indicted on child sex abuse charges. Jesus. Bubba Fest mocked the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, then acted surprised that there was backlash, and LA Comic-Con is happening? All this plus there's something in the mailbag on this episode of Nerd and Tie. Welcome to Nerd and Tie, the only podcast on the internet with a dress code. I am one of your hosts, Trey Dorn. Joining me, as always, are the phenomenal Gen Proc. And the wondiferous Nick Izumi.
I left this podcast for just a little bit, and we just have garbage fires. That's all I'm hearing right now.
You were here last month. I was the one who was gone last month.
I mean, I know, but I mean, the point is, I wasn't paying close attention to the news, and then I started paying attention to the news, and it's garbage fires again.
I mean, it never stopped being garbage fires.
I know. The DC Carnival of Madness was actually kind of fun in a stupid sort of way.
What? Because it's fun to talk about inconsequential things that don't matter?
Yeah, that.
Like, and I'll tell you, like, part of me wants to be talking about how the guy from Leverage is going to be Hawkman.
I mean, yeah, there's that. There's the whole, how was I going to phrase it? Like, The Snyder Cut is already like doing like a $70 million reshoot.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's so.
I cannot wait for that. This cut to kill his career more than anything I've ever said will.
So we need to talk about the Snyder Cut for like 5 seconds here, because, this proves more than anything that the Snyder Cut did not exist.
It was never a thing.
Yeah.
It's
never real.
The Snyder Cut wasn't real, guys. So all of the fanboys who are out there saying release the Snyder Cut, there was not a thing to release. And now Warner Brothers is sinking $70 million to make a miniseries out of Justice League, and no one's going to know what's canon and what isn't. Especially no one's going to know because it's going to be on HBO Max, and none of us are paying for that.
Ain't that the truth?
They don't have an app on Roku. I use Roku's on all my TVs. Peacock has finally shown up on Roku. I have an Apple TV that's in my office, but we use Roku's in the rest of like in our bedroom and in our living room. Like so for my actual like TV viewing, I can't. There is no point of me paying any money for HBO Max because I cannot watch HBO Max. So I'm not going to watch HBO Max.
I've just been buying Doom Patrol on DVD. And a friend of mine shows me the other shows that I wanted to see. So, yeah.
It's too many services. Peacock is a garbage fire of a service, but there's at least a free tier. So, like, it's a garbage fire I'm not paying for. Like, the CW streaming service didn't have to be good because it was free, right?
Right.
Like, it just has to have the shows. Peacock doesn't even have the shows. there'll be a season and it'll be like, watch the rest on Hulu.
It's got AP Bio.
Admittedly, I like AP Bio.
That's the only reason I've even considered grabbing.
Yeah, but it's
Peacock
free.
There's a free tier.
There's a free tier.
Okay.
So you can just, and now there's a Roku app. So you can just sign up and you have to watch commercials like it's regular television, but there's a free tier.
I mean, I don't care if I just want to watch AP Bio.
Well, and the second Psych movie is actually good.
Oh.
It's the first, because I don't know, did you watch Psych?
Intermittently.
Okay, so the first Psych movie that they made that was a USA original movie is kind of, it's not terrible, but it's kind of rough. Like, it's a, would be like a middle of the pack. It would be a lesser episode of the series on its own. Like, it was still really enjoyable when it came out because it was like more of the show you love, but but what happened, and the reason why it was kind of mediocre is that Timothy Amundsen, who plays Lasseter on the show, had his stroke while they were in pre-production, and they had to rewrite the script in a weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
the second movie.
That's a setback.
Yeah. So the second movie, like, is literally written, or they gave his character the same kind of stroke the actor had and worked it into the plot. And it's really good. It's a good episode of the show. I mean, the Psych movies are such, like, just Psych, long Psych episodes that they even have the theme song. Like, you have a cold open, and then the theme song happens.
Wow. Okay.
It's they're doing a Columbo.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right, I think we distracted people enough with some jolliness before we have to talk about the horrors of the universe.
I'd say let's get back to just being bummers again.
Yeah,
what we do best.
But every story's a bummer in a different way.
So at least it's interesting.
Yeah, there's variety in our bummers.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And so the first thing we're going to talk about is the grossest thing we're going to talk about, and that
is get it out of the way,
and that is Oregon-based artist Stephen Poon, who vends in Artist Alleys under the name Out Nerd Me, has been indicted on child sex abuse charges. So
gross.
So Poon, he primarily sells like word art posters, like where it'll be like the TARDIS, but it's composed of like a tag cloud of words from the show, like filling the space.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
typography.
It's typography art. And he has his art's been, like, promoted by, like, a lot of famous people who, like, it will be a thing from his show, and he'll give them a copy of the poster. And his posters were incredibly popular. In 2015, blog Geek Dad wrote about his work, "The graceful word art is a treasure trove of all the best quotes from your favorite movie or show, artfully arranged." And he had photos up on his Twitter of him with, like, you know, there's a Brandon Routh,
not the Routhmeister.
Yeah.
He didn't know any better.
No, none of these people knew better. It's just a lot of things. Well, so he had, for a while, besides being at conventions, he had also been at, he lives in the Portland area. And he had been vending at the Portland Saturday Market. And according to a local news station, KPTV, quote, "Stephen Poon has been indicted by a Washington County grand jury on charges of using a child in display of sexually explicit conduct, first degree encouraging child sexual abuse, second degree sex abuse, and compelling prostitution of a minor."
Classy.
According to police, Poon allegedly started a relationship with the 8-year-old victim after meeting the victim at the Portland Saturday Market. And police believe there may be other victims. So, Yeah, that's
great.
Great. So
it's not great. This is the worst.
This is the worst. This is like
lit. Absolute worst.
This is the worst. I mean, obviously, he has not been convicted of a crime yet, but police seem pretty certain. And
not a great look.
Yeah, and so the Portland Saturday Market is a local place that is local to where he lived, and so he was there regularly. But there's, you know, I don't know if, you know, we don't know if there were any victims. We don't know if there were any alleged potential victims, like on the convention scene or things like that. I mean, hopefully, you know, parents at conventions would know where their children are. But on the other hand, I've been to conventions and some parents are great. Some of them. And this is awful. This is just,
I'd say, yeah, that's a,
there's no,
I'm fighting to not like retch right into my microphone right now. Cause
this is fucking gross. So, obviously his Facebook page is down. The Out Nerd Me, Facebook page is down. The Twitter appears to still be up, but not like, obviously his Twitter had been less active. Like the tweets I was mostly finding were from like 5 years ago. But you know, his Facebook page had been updated, and so yeah, if you know a victim, if you know someone who is actually a victim, please reach out to the Portland police.
No kidding. Ugh.
Yeah. That's
wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's got to, I'd say there's got to be better news, but that's going to be, I already know that it's relative.
Everything is relative. Here, would you rather talk about something bad that's at least kind of entertaining?
Why don't we? Because that made me feel gross, sad, and not good about anything.
So let's talk about a story that tangentially mentions Vic Mignogna. speaking of things somehow related to predators, we laugh because it's Vic Mignogna and everything's terrible and he is going to end up having to pay so much money in sanctions. So Bubba Fest, that's a thing, right? Bubba Fest is a regional comic convention held in Knoxville, Tennessee. Mostly the con, they've crossed our radar only briefly before when they notably had, Vic Mignogna as a guest last year while most of conventions were saying, no, not that guy. But, There are other things you might have heard of him for. And maybe you heard that the convention owner Chris Lewis used to professionally represent Mr. Mignogna. Or maybe you've heard that this con originally filed for bankruptcy earlier this year, but then withdrew it after getting a PPP loan of at least $150,000, as far as I can tell. I don't have the exact amount, but he got a PPP loan to save jobs. So many jobs that he saved. There are no jobs. That
classy stuff.
Bubba Fest weirdly lied when Gilligan's Island star Don Wells, who's notably one of the creditors on that withdrawn bankruptcy, withdrew from an appearance last year in 2019 after, for some reason, Bubba Fest accused her, said she had canceled because her management was was shady management, which has no bearing on reality. Or maybe you heard of Bubba Fest when it was mentioned on national television on Jimmy Kimmel that when Game of Thrones actor, I'm going to say his name wrong, probably Nikolaj Coster-Waldau, compared the event to the Notorious Fire Festival. And I'm going to play that. I'm going to play a clip of that for you right now.
So I know you sometimes go to these Game of Thrones fan conventions.
Yes.
Including Comic-Con yes. you were at. But you were at one that I never heard of before.
You haven't heard of Bubba Fest?
I never heard of Bubba Fest. Where is Bubba Fest?
Bubba Fest is in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes, and it's run by a guy called Chris Lewis. And I went there. I like these fan conventions, and I had
you
this
do,
idea.
Right.
I want to do like a. We're trying to shoot a documentary about this world.
Okay.
And that's why we went there. And it was, it kind of lived up to the billing. Have you ever seen, did you see that documentary Fire Island? Like the fire
I know about it. I haven't seen it
about,
though.
It's, the a, history it's a story of... about a big thing this guy organizes and it all goes
oh,
horribly
Fire
wrong.
Festival.
Fire Festival, yes.
Yeah, no. Fire Island is different.
Fire Festival, yes.
And there is a documentary about Fire Island.
Yeah, that...
But this is a Fire Festival and there are two
documentaries. You've seen that one. Yeah, two documentaries.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's really upset.
Yeah, everyone's
well,
mad.
Well, Bubba Fest... was kind of like that, but everyone was still happy.
So it was the opposite of
Fire
Fest.
It was a bit of a show. Can I say that? Sorry.
You cannot. You cannot, no. But you did, so what are
sorry,
you
sorry, I'm sorry. But listen, you should go to Bubba Fest next year. It's worth it. I mean, Chuck Norris was there.
What?
Chuck Norris was there.
Chuck Norris was at Bubba Fest?
I know.
And,
and Doc the Bounty Hunter.
Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I know.
And you.
And me.
Wow.
I know.
Did you interact with Dog or Chuck?
They were like separate. It wasn't quite accessible to me.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't allowed there. But what was interesting, because I'm from Europe, and of course I know Chuck Norris.
Uh-huh.
But the first time I came to...
You know him personally or know who
no,
he is?
No, I know of him.
I see.
But the first
okay.
time I came to the U.S. was after he did his last show. So when I saw he was like... the main draw, I thought, well, I mean, really? It was packed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Well, because he did Walker, Texas Ranger, but he also had movies before that.
You know, I know, but still 30 years ago, right?
No, we don't forget. I mean, and by the way, it's not
so
like
what I'm saying
a
is,
lot
I,
of celebrities
I could,
coming
I could
to...
do this for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Here in the United States, you know, there will be a group of people waiting at a Hilton in Burbank to see you for many years to come. Many years to come.
Thank God.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, no. You'll be the Kingslayer when you're 95 years old. Oh. And there are worse things, for
there
sure.
There are worse things.
Absolutely. So you want to make a documentary about these things.
Yeah. No, I find it, there's something really fascinating about it. You have so many people go there. Because first when I went to those things, I thought this is a weird world. A lot of, you know... crazy people.
Do you not have that in Denmark? Is that not
no,
something that
but,
goes
but
on?
The thing is, over the last 10 years, it's become a global phenomenon. It's massive.
Yes.
And it's also attracting, you know, there's a purity in fandom, right? But then, of course, that attracts a lot of people who want to monetize it.
Because
you got to make some money.
Sure.
So you have this whole thing of people just having so much fun, and then behind the scenes, it's a little sketchy.
I see. In other words, Chuck Norris hated being there, is what you're telling me.
He cleaned up.
He hates his fans.
He loves his fans.
So if you didn't pick up on that, the one of the stars of Game of Thrones just implied that Chris Lewis is sketchy.
Mm.
I should point out for a while, Nicolas Coster-Waldau was listed on Chris Lewis's agent page as someone he was representing at conventions. Who called his convention, compared his convention to Firefest, and called him sketchy on national television.
Hmm.
And you know what the best part is? We just gave you all of that intro, and we're not talking about any of that today. That's not why we're talking about Bubba Fest. But I feel like that background is important. So invited Vic Mignogna. It's apparently terribly run. Don Wells is mad at them and is one of the people who was a creditor on their bankruptcy, which they only got out of because of a PPP loan. So Bubba Fest only continues because of the pandemic. But
hasn't 2020 done enough?
Yeah. So
like, haven't we been through enough?
But none of that's what we're talking about because, you know, some of you may recall that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg recently died.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
And for whatever reason, the person who manages Boba Fett's social media pages, who we assume is Chris Lewis. It seems pretty clear to be Chris Lewis, but technically, don't know for sure if he's the one who posted it. I'm assuming he's the one who posted it. But there was a post with a number of American flag emojis with a link to the clip from The Wizard of Oz with the title, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Lewis also posted this clip onto his personal Facebook page and made it very clear that it was about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Wow.
And the convention defended the decision in the comments, and saying that we aren't interested in the sort of celebrities or fans who are offended by this post. From the get-go, we made it clear that this event is for, quote, people who love God, family, and country. We were never shy about that. Go elsewhere. You won't be missed. That was in response to a comment on the Facebook post. That post soon disappeared. I'm sorry, did you say something again?
Wow!
This hole's getting deeper. I just want to point out, we have just started digging the hole.
Oh, boy.
So that post soon disappeared from the convention's Facebook page. Although, in a response that that Chris Lewis sent to the Facebook group, Rate That Comic-Con, because he can't post there himself because he's not allowed in the group, he was removed from the group. And
always a good sign.
Yeah, well, that he claimed that Facebook took the page down, and his that statement he sent to Rate That Comic-Con is because he was kicked out of the group, and that group is, look, I'm in Rate That Comic-Con. I occasionally post there. This is a group that historically has sided with convention runners, so if they booted you out, it's gotta be pretty bad, right? Like,
ah, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, he says he didn't. Yeah, he said, third, our show is an obvious red-leaning demographic. The name of the show is Bubba Fest. It's never meant for all of you who are triggered right now. Let's be really honest. You're never going to go to a show called Bubba Fest. And I called everybody hypocrites, where, I know he called a bunch of, people loons because they just said mean things about living people. I don't know. Anyways. So that was Lewis's attitude at the beginning of this. And honestly, most of us would have probably drifted into the past because most of us wrote off Boba Fest last year when they when Lewis brought Vic Mignogna. Like, it was pretty clear last year where they stood about being kind of douche canoes, I believe is the technical term.
Yep.
But what happened was is that John Barrowman...
The man, the myth, the legend.
The man who's, known for things like Doctor Who, Arrow, for having a sister who was my mom's college advisor when she went back to school to get her teaching certificate.
I don't know if he's known for that last one.
His sister lives in my parents' neighborhood.
Okay.
That's just a weird thing that's true.
I mean, it's true. I don't know whether I would say that that's a well-known fact.
But anyways,
anyway, continue.
John Barrowman, famous actor John Barrowman. Fandom icon John Barrowman. Posts shared screenshots of the posts to Twitter. And he tweeted, hashtag fan family, hashtag con family. These posts from Bubba Fest... don't offend, they are just sick. Ruth Bader Ginsburg believed in God, family, and America. You have just confirmed you're bigoted and assholes. Fan family, go leave them your thoughts on their Facebook page. Search Bubba Fest, John Barrowman. And that's when this kind of exploded. And this is my favorite part. You see... how did Bubba Fest respond to famous actor John Barrowman ripping on them, fandom icon John Barrowman just raising fire. Did they try to mitigate these problems? Did they decide to lay low and let it pass by? Did they think for more than 2 seconds? No. This is what Bubba Fest tweeted in reply. And I quote, "Hi, John. Maybe we should talk about this in person. We can also talk about the hundreds of thousands of dollars per year in cash that you make doing autograph signings at Comic-Cons around the world, and which you never declare as income and pay taxes on. Sound fair?"
That's such a bizarre, like, accusation.
That's right, okay. Though Bubba Fest responded by accusing John Barrowman of tax evasion. Now, obviously that's a confusing response, and maybe someone came to their senses, or maybe they sobered up, because Bubba Fest then went and deleted that tweet, and, like, along with, like, all
can't
their...
can't imagine why.
They deleted, like, a bunch of tweets going back months. And then the convention posted an extensive backpedal to their official Facebook page, which I'm not going to read that whole thing to you. It is long. Right now it's no longer up on Facebook, but I don't know if it's because whether or not their Facebook page has been going up and down. So that's why, like, we have the full text of that statement though on our website, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes. He kind of turned it into, like, it's everybody's bad, and, we're never more divided as a people, and, it was in poor taste and unchristian of me to intentionally troll the passing of a historic figure in our country's history. Regardless of my or anyone else's opinion on Justice Ginsburg's record on the U.S. Supreme Court, the fact remains that, you know, and, like, butter up. But then the next paragraph is, whether it's one side mocking and cheering the death of Herman Cain or the other side making insensitive jokes about the death of Justice Ginsburg, nice little false equivalency there, all this hatefulness needs to stop. And like, massive backpedal. And it's a completely different tone than the statement he sent to rate that Comic-Con, which was all like, LOL, you libs are just triggered. Now it's a, oh, we need to all be better. Because maybe he realized that it's bad for his business?
Hey, who would have thought?
I was about to say, yeah, it if you think you can run a con with only right-wingers, well, I got some bad news for you.
Well, and here's where it gets weirder. So, I did a write-up for this that we put out last week. And, I reached out to Chris Lewis for comment. And, first he directed me to his previous statement. But I gave him, like, 12 hours to get me something more. And so he came back the next morning, and he sent me a number of Twitter screenshots from, and it was like, he sent me all these screenshots from, like, there's a couple of stand-up comics, there were some writers, there was just, like, one random woman on Twitter who, as far as I can tell, is just a random person who made one negative Trump statement and suddenly got ran off Twitter by Trump trolls. And they were, let me see if I can, he sent me, like, so many things. And it's, like, it starts out, like, Moshe Kasher, I think that's how you say his name, making a joke after the death of Antonin Scalia and Anthony Jeselnik also, like, but these are stand-up comics and writers, and a few of them, there are, like, a couple of jokes about Antonin Scalia. And then, like, there's, like, one random person making a Herman Cain joke. A random woman who is just a random citizen. And then some people like making jokes about like how much they don't like Mitch McConnell.
What?
And then like just a whole bunch of like I shared a couple of the screen, not all of them because there's just so many. I shared a couple of them in the write up and they're just nonsense. Because like some of them were like people making jokes about the deaths of Herman Cain and Antonin Scalia. But the rest were just people who politically disagreed with him. All of it kind of like he misses the point with all of this. Like a stand-up comic making a joke about the death of someone and a person running a community event making a joke about the death of people with the events page. Like, again, no one's complaining. No one's complaining that he made a joke on his personal page or with a personal account. It's that he put it out as the business. Like, he doesn't, like, you can't, I mean, first off, you can't complain about political division with one hand while sewing it with the other. Like, you can't say, you yeah. can't, yeah, it's like, you don't get to say, what about all these other people? Like, you take responsibility for your own actions first and foremost. Like, just do it. Secondly, like, he doesn't really get that, like, all these people were individuals voicing their opinion. And again, if he, like, no one, like, I know he said shit on his personal Facebook page. I've seen the screenshots. Nobody was complaining about that. They were complaining about it because it was on the business's page. Because that's the business taking that position. And, like, there's a disconnect where he doesn't understand that, like, that actually kind of matters.
But, like, I mean, aren't businesses people, too?
I mean, it's...
No, they're not. Unfortunately, the law doesn't agree with that.
But also, all those people who, like the stand-up comics who made jokes about people's deaths, they were ready for the backlash and, like, okay with it. Like, the shocking thing about this is that he could have been the con that was just like, I'm a big asshole, and if you don't like big assholes, don't come. And he could have just held that position fine, and everyone would have been like, oh, look at the big asshole. But no, he backpedaled. And he's, like, talking about everyone else sowing division. And I'm betting it's because that his comments angered his potential guests. He's trying to book guests who are far more politically liberal than he is. Like, because not every guest can be Chuck Norris or Dog the Bounty Hunter.
It's true. Like, you're...
I mean, I guess you could get Adam Baldwin, but, like, he can't afford James Woods. Like, it limits who you can get, because what he wants, his bread and butter for a show like this are the CW level actors like John Barrowman. It's, or the occasional like Game of Thrones person, and all those people are going to be far more politically left than this. And I know that he didn't own it. He didn't say it. And so, like, it's, to quote the great philosophers of our age, you can't shake the devil's hand and say you're only kidding. It's and or in my own words, you can't light a fire and then complain about the heat. Like, it's,
yeah, that's
this. He made it. So that's the infuriating thing. It's the like, I mean, obviously the initial thing, like, yeah, I found the joke tasteless, and it solidified that I would never want to do business with this event or anyone who does business with this event. Like, it's really clear that, like, for me as a person who gives money to conventions, who works with conventions, like, I have no desire to have any sort of relationship with this person. Or book anyone he represents, or, you know, like, because I help run a convention, and he also represents people who are guests at conventions, and I wouldn't want to book something from him because of this. But, like, it's with the addition of him being shocked that people would have this reaction. Like, it's...
Mm-hmm. It's this lack of self-awareness. It's amazing.
You can't go out there with this attitude and, like, just... expect no one to care. Like, it's your speech has consequences.
It cracks me up that the hardcore right wingers are always saying we're the really sensitive ones, but this is
This is just sad.
There's this
mentality of hating anything that appears as weakness, and so they have to puff out their chests and call the people they don't like weak, because to them that's the greatest sin. But the truth is that he doesn't have the courage of his convictions. He's willing to make the joke, and then when it backfires, he's too scared to stand up and stand by his position. And it's because he doesn't have a strong position, because he is weak. And I'm saying, like, he is trying to run a business in an industry that doesn't politically agree with him for the most part. Like, there are attendees who agree with him. Like, I'm not saying,
absolutely,
like, he can get people in the doors. Like, the fact is that a lot of us who are left, were pretty much done with shows like his when he rebooked Vic Mignogna. Plain and simple. And he obviously has shown that there's an attendee base that will show up knowing that his event did that. And so he can, and that can keep you in business to a degree, but it does mean that, like, and if he had kept towing that line of, like, borderline stuff, he could have kept booking guests and do that. But the fact is, when someone who does a ton of conventions across the country, with a lot of connections, publicly shames your convention on social media, that's gotta look bad for his convention. And so if you're gonna take the position of I'm the right wing convention, you have to know that you're gonna only get people who are willing to show up at the right wing convention, and it's not enough to sustain a business. Like, Dog the Bounty Hunter is a great fifth name on a list for a con like that, but he's, you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter and Chuck Norris alone aren't going to keep your con in business.
No.
It's...
Nope.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's...
They're not even enough to keep A&E reruns in business, I mean.
Like... Hey-o! And so that's why it's... It's ironic that, like, he was so afraid, like, it's all this bravado and chest puffing when he's not financially in a state where he can take the position he claims he was taking. And so, it's just fascinating. And he just doesn't get it. Like, the fact that he never thought, hey, is this a bad idea? To do this with my business? Like, again, if he had just done it on his personal account or a personal Twitter or something like that, there wouldn't have been an uproar. Like, John Barrowman doesn't retweet some random guy, Chris Lewis, making a political post. Like, John Barrowman doesn't give a shit about that. It's when it's a convention name. You know, it's...
Yep.
Like, Boba Fett's made some statements. I've seen some comments where, like, they said, oh, well, John Barrowman's someone we wouldn't invite at all. Our attendees are much more interested, and I don't remember which names he said, but pretty much a couple of different comic artists. And I'm like, bitch, you had Game of Thrones. Like... And Chuck Norris. These are 100... John Barrowman is the exact kind of guest you're trying to book.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
It's not like he was a main character in two of the biggest TV franchises of the last decade.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like... He's exactly... Like, John Barrowman is the key kind of person that his con wants, where he's a big enough name in the nerd community, but not a big enough name outside of the nerd community where you can afford him still. Draw the nerds who like to go to conventions without being so expensive that you can't afford his ticket, his guarantee. Like, that's... Like, you want your John Barrowmans and your Grant Gustins and, you know... Like, in your Melissa Benoists, and, like, these are what keep this Comic-Con bubble afloat for now. Because it is a bubble, and it's going to pop, and I think coronavirus is doing a lot of that job for us, but, you know.
For better or for worse.
All right.
But still.
I don't know, Gen, what do you think?
Well, I think I'm glad we're moving the theme of the show from pedos to just dumb.
I mean,
like
you
with
know,
our next story.
Well, yeah, and we'll get to that in a second, because we want to let Nick take care of himself. But I don't know. It's like the thing with like Chris Lewis is, I mean, this is a guy who, like, again, invited Vic Mignogna in the middle of the thing. So I guess we haven't drifted too far away from pedophilia. I'm not saying Vic Mignogna is a pedophile. I'm just saying he made sexually suggestive comments to a child on stage while hosting a cosplay contest once, and that numerous women who, while underage, have accused him of sexual harassment and signed affidavits in a court case. So I'm not definitively saying anything about Vic Mignogna's sexual predilections. I am just saying accusations exist and evidence of him being inappropriate are out there available for everyone to see on both Twitter and YouTube. Oh.
You know, as someone who runs a business, it just pains you even more when people just run their mouths using their business page and don't realize that, you know, there are consequences.
Yeah.
Like, think about your customer base.
Right.
Before you talk.
It's
on
like
your business page.
Well, you know what it is? It's like supporting Vic, like being like an ally to Vic Mignogna is one thing, because not all of your attendees are, you know, the guy who's there to get Dog the Bounty Hunter's signature doesn't give a shit about Vic Mignogna. You know, the guy who's there, for Game of Thrones doesn't give a shit about Vic Mignogna. It's like, I don't know. It's ridiculous. We will now move on to our next topic, which is in some ways less depressing, but in other ways more depressing.
Yeah.
And that is, so you know how, like, pretty much every convention has canceled itself throughout 2020, except for like small little dumb ones, you know,
having a buttload of people super close together for a long period of time is a bad idea in a freaking pandemic.
Yeah. Like even Bubba Fest had a virtual event. Even Bubba Fest. You know who's not
even
having...
frickin' Bubba Fest.
You know who's not having a virtual event this year? LA Comic Con, which has decided they're going to run a convention in December of 2020. That's right. According to the Los Angeles CBS affiliate, KCAL. LA Comic Con is going forward with a live convention this coming December. Organizers say they have been working with the LA Convention Center, public health and city officials, and they believe they have the plans and procedures in place to open safely with full COVID-19 precautions. Quote, if at any time LA County Health or the mayor's office determine we can't have a safe show, we will postpone and reschedule, LA Comic-Con officials said in an email. They also guaranteed that any ticket spot would be 100% rolled over or refunded in the event of postponement or cancellation. And this was reported earlier today. We're recording this on September 28th. The episode will be released to the public September 29th. So yesterday, for those of you who listen to the show right away when it comes out. Like most other conventions have gone virtual, LA Comic Con's is like, no, man. So compared to last year's event, LA Comic Con last year had like 42,000 attendees, and they are saying they're limiting the 2020 event to just 13,500.
Oh,
attendees.
Only 13,000. Good.
Yeah.
That makes it better.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ. It's face masks were being required. And they're going to try to socially distance everyone. But... like right now, LA Comic-Con organizers did not say if any celebrities had committed to the 2020 event, which is not a good sign because it's like it's about to be October. And this con is in, you're listening to September episode Nerd in Time. We always release, we usually release near the end of the month. And so we are like 70 something days away from this convention. Like it's, yeah, we are less than 75 days away from this con and they have no celebrity guests announced.
This so, might be a good thing for not bringing in people needlessly.
So here's the thing. I think that this con is not going to actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the anime con scene, YumaCon, which is in Detroit, and usually held, you know, in late October, they'd been on the books, like, they weren't able to cancel because of their contracts for a really long time, and like in the last week or two they announced they were canceled because they finally got let out of their contract by their hotel, where their hotel canceled the events because of a statewide order. But they were stuck like moving towards happening because they couldn't get out of their contract. So I wonder, but it sounds like they've reserved more space, so I don't know. Like, they've rented out the entire LA Convention Center, so they, sounds like they rented out more space than normal to do this, so.
Jeez.
Like, YumaCon was stuck, but I don't know. I didn't reach out to the, we just found this out earlier today, so I didn't have a chance to reach out to LA Comic-Con organizers or anything like that myself, so I just have to go on what they commented to local news in Los Angeles. I think this isn't going to happen. I think there's likely going to be a statewide order that prevents it, or at least a city ordinance, because this is irresponsible and crazy, and California's been pretty good about locking things down, so...
I just say, boy, oh boy, I hope someone puts a stop to this, because this is a new level of stupid. Like, not a new level, but it's stupid.
Like, it's dumb enough on, like, some of the small cons that are, like, you know, like, 1,000 attendees, when those run, that's stupid. Like, they shouldn't happen. Like, we've reported on a couple of those, I think, back in June, and we just wrote a, like, kind of a general article on the website of just, don't go to a con right now, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad idea.
Do it.
We all miss each other. And, you know, like, you know, I'll admit that the three of us on the show, we found a way to safely hang out for a weekend. But we also, like, all monitored and made sure we were healthy for, like, a couple weeks ahead of time. And I don't
know.
I'd say
there's
a
lot of checking temperature every day. Yeah.
And I largely self-quarantined afterwards. To be safe.
Mm-hmm.
The only place I went was the doctor's office for unrelated non-COVID things. I have a fun mystery illness. It's fun. It's not going to kill me, though, so we're great.
Hooray!
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I have a blind spot in my right eye. We think my neuro-ophthalmologist thinks she knows what it is, but... the best news about that is what she thinks it is. Medical science doesn't know what causes it. There is no existing treatment. So it's super fun. But I'm not going to go blind. And I'm not going to die. So I'm fine with it. Because what else are you going to do? Other than be fine with it. But so yeah, no, like, so I'll admit. It's like the social interaction in front of conventions is like, part of me has gotten over it a little bit this year because like I was scheduled to do more conventions this year than I had in a few years, and then they all got canceled. And so I've suddenly found myself with more money this year. Oh, my checkbook is really liking it. Cause I've remained employed. That's not the universal case. In fact, we're in a massive economic shitstorm. But conventions, don't go to conventions right now, guys.
Please don't go to conventions.
Don't go. It's bad. I keep saying this, but I want all of you to live. Every single person listening to this podcast, even the ones who don't like me, I want you to live. That's my goal. All of you need to survive, so don't die. Don't go to LA Comic Con if it happens. Stay home. Oh
yeah,
my
that's
God. What the hell are they thinking?
I don't know. I just don't know. Wow. Just a big old wow.
So, yeah.
What a freaking mess.
I don't know.
This has been a downer of an episode.
We'll call this episode Convention Bummers.
You can't fix stupid.
It's true. It's really true. Jeez.
Oh my God. I don't know. I just know that we've got something in the mailbag.
We do have something in the mailbag,
hey,
so Ken, maybe that'll be a
Ken, reach into that mailbag and find us something.
Heck, let me find the letter.
It should be in there, just in the bag.
Yep.
Yeah, that physical bag that we all can see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. From that we just teleport to each other.
Yep. From like three different cities, all hundreds of miles away from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the bag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this one. This one right here. Got it. It's a letter from our good friend Brenda.
Brenda, who is very active on our Discord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should join the Discord and chat with Brenda. She's very cool. Okay, and she writes, so with COVID, there have been quite a lot of reunions of movies and TV shows online. Which movie or TV show would you want a Zoom table read or reunion of? My favorite was the Chuck table read and Scott Pilgrim.
So I've only watched a couple. Like, I watched the Parks and Rec one, and I watched the Scott Pilgrim one, but I didn't watch any of the other ones.
No, there was the Princess Bride one.
The Princess Bride one is a fundraiser for the Democratic Party.
I watched the Cracked After Hours one.
Oh, I did watch that. I did watch the Cracked After Hours one. Where they read the script to the final episode that they shot that never got released.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh.
I know Lord of the Rings did one, but I think that was a lot of production crew. I don't think there were many actors.
Yeah, you know, so like I didn't watch the Community one, even though I love Community. I didn't watch the 30 Rock one because apparently it was an ad for Peacock. The most terrible of stream services, but it's free. I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not super into that kind of stuff.
Like, I enjoy it when I see it, but, like, I haven't even bothered watching all the ones that are for things I like. So, like, I've enjoyed a couple, but... Like the Parks and Rec one was good because they did it as an episode of the show, of the character, like it was new, it was original, and it was the characters checking on each other over Zoom, effectively, you know, during the pandemic. So it like it was original content, and they had to make an excuse for why Andy and April weren't on the same camera. And along with like pretty much every couple had to they had to make an excuse for why their characters weren't in the same spot. It was good. It was good. I liked it a lot. I don't know if the problem is I can't think of ones that I would like to see. Because I genuinely feel like those kinds of reunions are a mixed bag. Like, I watched the Scott Pilgrim one, and it was fun, but watching it, I was thinking, I'd rather be watching Scott Pilgrim right now. Like, I'd rather just watch the movie. Because they, you know, it was the cast doing a reading.
It's kind of like, I might have been at BotCon. They did a, they had the Transformers animated cast read the script of episode 1 of season 4, which was never produced. And that was...
See, that
just kind of hurt. No, it was good, yeah. But yeah. It also kind of hurt because it was setting up all these storylines. Like, now I know solidly what storylines were going to be set up had the show not been canceled. But now I'm just sad because I know what I was missing instead of just having the nebulous feeling of... Oh, it's too bad it had to end there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with see, that I don't mind, like, because they're reading something unproduced. Like, and that's why I did enjoy right. The Cracked After Hours one quite a bit. Because it was content that I knew existed that I was never going to get to watch any version of. So, to see the original cat, you know, to see the four people sit down on... and do the reading, like, it was really enjoyable because it was just, you know, a thing. Like, I feel like, so, like, often, like, those script reading things, like, those work really well as panels at conventions, and they're really fun because there's also, like, the live atmosphere of being there with them. Watching it over, like, Zoom isn't always, like, it's just, like, watching, I don't know. If you enjoy them, that is awesome for you, and I'm glad there are things in the world that people can enjoy who are not me. I am bereft of joy. I am ancient and slowly turning to dust.
You are not bereft of joy. You have pumpkin gummies.
I do. I got a whole like thing full of them. And I have regular gummy worms, too. And there's good stuff, man. It's...
If there's one thing that brings joy, it's those goddamn pumpkin gummies.
I know. It's Albanese does a really great job. So, like, because so they're sold in stores here under the Eileen's brand, but the Eileen's company just buys other candy other companies makes and repackages it. So it's the Eileen's gummy worms are and gummy pumpkins are both made by Albanese, which is a company I think they're in Indiana. They're like, I like to buy, like, I don't like to buy, like, straight from Albanese, because whenever you buy, like, in stores from the Albanese stuff, it's always, like, their huge flavor selection, and I just like some of the flavors, but you can buy them in bulk from their website in the same version that Eileen's gets, so I could get, like, a 5-pound bag of this stuff if I really wanted to, in just the colors I like, or I just buy a little tub at the grocery store with Eileen's name stamped on it. But that's, I could talk about gummies for like hours. I have strong opinions on gummies and what brands are good and what brands are bad and the best flavors with each brand. And like, I have thoughts.
Man. I actually have an answer to the mailbag.
Oh my God.
I just thought of.
I'm so sorry.
I just thought of it. Sorry. No. My brain was like,
is it the ADV Evangelion cast?
Normally, yes, that would be what I went to. It's not, but this is an English dub cast, but I want them reading something technically not directly related. I want the English cast of the Fate series to read the script to Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and I want the According Knights of the Round Table reading their correct parts. So, like, I want Kari Wahlgren doing her saber voice, reading King Arthur's lines from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
That would be awesome.
Wow, who's would, Sir not appearing in like... this picture in Fate?
Percival, actually. Because he's not, he has not appeared in the franchise yet. But yes, that's my, that is my request. That would be like, yeah, Kyle Hebert doing, doing Lancelot. I cannot remember the English actress who played Ash Gary A. Light. But
does Percival show up in Holy Grail?
No. So he's also Sir not appearing in this
No,
film.
That's why I'm just checking, because it would have to be someone who doesn't appear in either.
Oh yeah, so I blew a joy gasket because a while back, because as of the Camelot storyline in the mobile game, which is getting turned into a anime movie, all of the knights from Monty Python and the Holy Grail now have Fate counterparts. So Arthur, Galahad, Bedivere, Lancelot. The exception would probably be Sir Robin, but there's a couple other knights who fit Sir Robin pretty well. We'll make it work. So yes, I want that. The actors who played Astolfo, Fifth Paladin of Charlemagne, and I don't know, Joan of Arc can play the French Taunters. It'll be funny. I want this. This is my table read that I'm requesting.
Okay. So Nick had one.
Oh, I don't know.
You can just say you don't have one again. Or just say the Ava Dubcast.
Well, for me, it would probably be the Fellowship of the Ring.
Mm.
Get the full cast of the Fellowship on one call and just let them go.
Love it.
Or get them to do a reading of National Lampoon's Board of the Rings.
Well, if it was my choice, I would have them table read VeggieTales, Lord of the Beans.
I'm okay with that also. That's probably actually better.
Acceptable.
I don't know enough about VeggieTales to argue with you, so I'm just going to say okay. I am too old for VeggieTales to have been part of my childhood, and not Christian enough for early VeggieTales to have ever touched my life.
I mean, legit.
I mean, it. Yeah.
Fair.
All right. So, with that, we're going to move on to the final part of our show, which is the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
Challenge.
Accepted. So the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge, for those who do not know, is the part of the show where I pull out a book and I read a random line for it and from it. And the challenge to you, the listener, is to guess what book I am reading from. If you guess correctly, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. One, I put your name on our website. Two, we read your name aloud every episode. Three, there is no free. Three, this is a free fun game, man. Like, stop being greedy. All right.
Yeah, dude.
It's bragging rights. Word. All right, so the current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkhamite, Zero, Rena Innocenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slitheridi, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Soares, Paper Godzilla, Cavsey, The Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shizuo, Sakura Sunset, Joel Kreisman, Patrick Delahanty, Wonderland Hearts, and Megzy Sass Council. And I am going to the book that I read from, like, probably in June or whenever we left this. And the line is... Oh, I'm sure that's not true. It's not like you have enemies, right? If you know a book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com/contact, then click on the Formy form and tell us. Or if you have anything else you want us to read aloud in our mailbag section, go there too. Tell us your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, your little things that keep you awake at night, in the deep dark, and somehow creep into your thoughts, and you just can't let them go, and you need to say it, or else it will consume you forever. Go to nerdandtie.com/contact and tell us. Woohoo! All right. So, with that, we head into the final part of our show, where we bid you a fond adieu, and I say that my name is Trey Dorn.
My name is Nick Izumi.
I'm Gen Prop.
And remember, you can always follow this show on social media. We are on Twitter at NerdandTie, on Tumblr, nerdandtie.tumblr.com, amazingly. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/nerdandtie. And please, please, please follow us on all of those things, or at least any of the ones of those that I just said that you use. You can support the show financially. First off, you can sponsor episodes of the show by going to nerdandtie.com and clicking on the sponsor information. You can, a couple of us have Patreons. Nick's got a Patreon at patreon.com/NickIzumi. I've got a Patreon at patreon.com/TRAEGORN. And again, how can people give you money?
I'll be opening my Etsy store in come November.
So
Ocelot Dude Designs. Just Google it.
All right. And remember, you can always contribute to our legal fund by going to gofundme.com/nerdandtie. And most importantly, though, is that we have a really active community on Nerd and Tie is part of a much larger network, and we have a very active community on Discord. And you can join our Discord by going to nerdandtie.com/discord. And there's an invite there you can always get to, and you can discuss with us not just this show, but our other shows like BS Free Witchcraft or Hex Positive. Those are two very popular witchcraft shows that are on the network. You can talk about our actual play shows like Stormwood and Associates and Let's Be Legendary and converse with the casts. You can talk about retro gaming with the Famicom Dojo fans. You can talk about true crime, you know, with Cool and Unusual Punishment people. It's a super fun group of people, and in your hopes, in your dreams, you know that, like, you can talk to Nick about the Nick Izumi show and tell him to do an episode on Venus Wars, because it's really important.
Please don't tell me to do an episode.
It's really important
Venus
that he does an episode on Venus Wars. I'm
going to be doing an important video on something Yoshikazu Yasuhiko worked on that was good.
Now you definitely, all the Venus Wars fans out there definitely have to say that if he doesn't do an episode on Venus Wars, he has to do one on Guy, the Ultimate in Science Friction, with starring Tiffany Grant. Anyways, in your hopes, in your dreams, in your thoughts, we are with you. We are here with you. We are in the room right now. Don't turn around. That breathing you feel on the back of your neck is just Nick. He's tying his shoes. Don't worry about it. Everything is normal. Everything is fine. This is all normal. Nothing
Word
is
up.
Wrong. All of this is normal. Don't check to see that your audio player has battery power or that the voices aren't coming from inside the room. This is fine. This is all fine. Next air catchphrase.
Keep on spocking in the free world.
Or don't, because it's your choice. Although, again, don't look behind you. Don't look behind you.
I'm back there.
Just doing stuff.